The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Pádraig Horkan, horticulturist, keen gardener, member of the Horkan Garden Centre family, is on the line to answer your gardening queries. Pádraig, good morning to you.
A very good morning to you, Pat, from a sunny but showery west of Ireland.
Okay, and pretty cold east coast as well, yeah. I have to say, Pádraig. And that's one of your warnings this week. Don't be deceived as you look out at the sunshine. Feel the day before you decide to, take maybe softer plants out plant them out, because it might be too soon.
It's very tempting to get out and start putting bedding plants out and young plants out, but frost is forecasted all of this week, Pat, and we've got that northerly cold breeze, which is damaging even hardy plants. The young growth has been damaged on them this year. So plants, common plants like Griselinia and Pieris Forest Flame, have all been damaged this year by late frost and cold winds. So don't be tempted to put out your hanging baskets or tomato plants or soft bedding plants. Keep them inside for at least another 2 weeks, even the first week of June, Pat, is soon enough to be putting those tender plants out of doors. So stick to the hardier plants at the moment and keep your other tender plants inside on windowsills or in a greenhouse and look after them for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, because it's prompted a question from Anne in Louth. Should I harden off during the day my cosmos, my marigold, my lettuce, my courgettes, or should I wait until it's warmer?
Well, lettuce plants would be perfectly fine. You could harden those off for a day or two. Hardening off simply means putting them out during the day and taking them in during the evening time, or putting them into a cold frame for a couple of days before finally planting them out. So lettuce, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, those kind of traditional vegetable plants are fine. But the softer plants like marigolds and cosmos, they need to be kept inside, as I said, until probably the end of May and the first week of June, until the all frosts have stopped and until the weather really starts to warm up, Pat. Otherwise, you're going to set them back. Cosmos is one of those taller annual plants, and it does benefit from pinching back at this time of year, and that helps to keep the growth short as well whilst it's inside. So keep your tender plants indoors for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Norman says, I've two young plum trees on which the leaves are all wrinkled and brown. Could you ask Pádraig what I should do to solve the problem?
Well, here's probably a perfect example, Pat, of cold weather burning the young growth on plum trees. And that's very common on fruiting trees this year, that really cold winds are scorching that young foliage. There's nothing you can really do. Normal will just have to wait. The leaves will be replaced. Those damaged leaves will be replaced by new growth once the growth kicks off again. And again, Norman could maybe put a little bit of granulated fertilizer on the fruiting trees about the first week of June as they come back actively into growth. So it's only a temporary setback on the plum trees. They'll be perfectly fine and come back into growth for the summer.
Paul in Cashel has a question. I have an oil tank in my back garden that's a real eyesore. Any ideas on plants to disguise it? It's roughly 5 to 6 feet tall on a concrete plinth, which is 5 by 8 feet. I was thinking of a hornbeam hedge. I don't like laurel hedging, but I was looking for something that will grow fast or in 2 or 3 years. I don't really want it to take up too much of my garden either.
Right, and the challenge is there, you're going to have to grow it in deep troughs, in soil or compost in a large container. Remember with hornbeam, it is a beautiful hedge, but it is deciduous, so it bears the leaves in winter, so you'd be looking at the oil tank for the winter months until it comes back into leaf in the spring. My advice is really maybe to go for something like Portuguese laurel, which is really nice, dark green leaves. It holds the leaf 12 months of the year. You can easily trim it at 5 or 6 feet and keep it maintained, and it does quite well in large containers, so that would be probably a better option, or something like maybe Photinia red robin. You'd have that nice red foliage from it, and again, red robin is evergreen and it will retain the leaves 12 months of the years. But Portuguese laurel would be a very good solution, Pat.
I've sown wildflower seeds 10 days ago, but there's no sign of germination. I understand the weather has been unseasonably cold, so will I leave them alone or will I add more to the soil next week?
No, all this required is a little bit of patience, Pat, because the listener is quite right. 10 days is too early for the seeds to germinate, particularly with the temperatures we're having at the moment. So you don't expect any germination for another fortnight, 10 to 14 days, until we get warmer temperatures, really June, before you start to see those seedlings start to germinate. So there's no need to add any more seed. Literally just let the let the plants come through, which they will.
I planted my acacia retinoids last November, but I think the frost got at it as the leaves look burnt. Can I save it or is it dead?
No, and acacias will suffer from late frost. They do come into leaf early in the season and they've got beautiful soft leaves. But unfortunately, when we get cold winds and heavy frost, they are susceptible to late frost. It's only a temporary setback. That acacia will come back into leaf again within the next 3 to 4 weeks. So it's literally only frost damage, exactly what we're warning against, Pat. So temporary setback, again, a little bit of a liquid feed about the end of May, the first week of June, we'll see that acacia come back into leaf again.
Mick Moore has a question. I have two rhododendrons with black spots on them. What can I do?
Well, it depends what's causing the black spots. I mean, rhododendrons can pick up physical damage from hailstones and just weather damage over the winter period. And they can sometimes suffer from a rhododendron leaf spot, which is a fungal disease, small black spots on the leaves. You can get a fungicide like Fungus Clear, which can be used safely on rhododendrons. But if it's not badly damaged, it'll grow out of it anyway. They tend to be easy to grow. They're coming into growth at the moment. Many are in flower. They're beautiful this year. Again, a liquid feed of an ericaceous fertilizer or granulated fertilizer, again, applied in June, will see lots of new growth on that rhododendron. But if you think it's that fungal damage, those black spots on the leaves, a little bit of Fungus Clear will see that off.
I've just planted a 1 foot tree fern in the north end of our garden. Apart from hostas and ferns, what other ground covering plants can I surround it with? I'd like some winter coverage.
Okay, well, plants that retain the leaf in winter and that will tolerate shade are plants like, there's a lovely plant, Pat, called Pachysandra terminoides. It's a long name for a very simple plant that spreads across the ground, is evergreen, white flowers, and carpets the ground around the tree fern. It'll only grow about 6 inches in height and really tolerates the shade really well. So that's Pachysandra. If you want something maybe slightly taller, Bergenias are really nice, beautiful purple or pink flowers and really decorative foliage on Bergenias. And again, they do well, very well in shaded areas. Maybe something a little bit taller would be the castor oil plant, the Fatsia, one called Spider's Web, which grows to about 8 inches, maybe 2 feet in height, for a little bit of height around the tree fern. So Pachysandra for me would be really good, Bergenias, Fatsias, another nice ground covering plant called Prunus oitaloichon, which is a cherry laurel that again spreads across the ground. It's broader than it is tall. So there's lots of really good examples of shade loving plants that the listener could use.
Another one about shade. Just wanted to know what burst of colour can I have for a shaded woodland, small area that will last for the whole summer? That's from Val.
Oh, well, if you want kind of early summer colour, you've got the foxgloves, of course, which will be coming into flower now as we go into early summer. Red campion is quite a good plant. It's actually flowering now, but if you deadhead it on a regular basis, red campion tolerates shade and flowers right through until the end of the summer. Beautiful kind of semi-deep pink, kind of cerise pink flowers on red campion. It's a really nice plant. Trilliums would do very well. Dogtooth lilies would also flower through the summer and again tolerate shade very well. And a good ground covering plant for shade is one called Lamium. It comes in different varieties, some with variegated foliage and some with pink, white or reddish flowers. So Lamium is a really good ground covering plant again in a shaded area.
Mark in Donegal says, I planted a bare root bird cherry hedge in the winter. The hedge is now in leaf, but they're covered in aphids. Is there anything I can do to get rid of these in an eco-friendly way?
Right. So the aphids and cherries can be attacked by aphids. They tend to migrate within a couple of weeks anyway, generally onto beans of all that. They tend to go onto our runner beans or French beans. But you can, in your local garden centre, get one of the organic based insecticides. There's lots of different types available, and you simply just spray it onto the foliage and that'll get rid of the aphids. To be honest, the cherry tree is such a vigorous plant anyway, it's only going to be a temporary setback on the tree and it'll be perfectly fine. But if you do want to get rid of them, use one of the organic based insecticides, and they're available in your local garden centre.
Maureen in Bray says, I have a rosemary bush that's got out of control. Is it too late to cut it back?
Well, rosemary doesn't like heavy pruning, so you can certainly take 6 or 8 inches off the plant, and really rosemary should be pruned every year on an annual basis to keep it bushy and to rejuvenate the plant. So now is a really good time to prune it back, but do remove only 6 to 8 inches of the stem, and that'll encourage lots of new growth further down on the plant. And remember, you can freeze that rosemary. Once you cut it, freeze it, put it into ice cubes, and you can use it then right through the summer period.
One from Alison Trim. Do I need to soak bare root phlox before planting? And if so, for how long? Also, any other tips as the last lot died, sadly? That's from Alison.
Well, it's a great time for planting phlox. They're actually coming into growth quite vigorously at the moment. But it is a good idea to soak them. So the listener obviously has got dry roots of phlox, probably purchased recently in a garden centre or online. So soak them overnight in tepid water and then plant them out of doors. Now, phlox is frost hardy, so it's perfectly safe to plant it out. Or indeed, if you wanted to start it off maybe in a couple of pots in multi-purpose compost, leave them on a bright sunny patio until such time as they start to produce lots of new growth, and then plant them into their final position. Phlox likes free-draining soil in a sunny location, and apart from that, they're very easy to grow.
A final one. I have 3 orange berberis, probably over 25 years old. They have wonderful colour every spring, but unfortunately hang across a fence into a farmer's field with very few blooms on my side. My question is, can I cut them back in such a manner that they will grow on my side next year?
Absolutely. So the farmer is getting all the luck, and what a great plant. That's the berberis. It's probably a variety called Darwinii. It's brilliant for bees, Pat, a really beautiful orange flowering berberis. Having said that, yes, the time to prune it is after flowering, and you can actually prune it quite severely. It has the ability of reshooting again further down along the stem or even close to the root base. So feel free to cut it back 3, 4, 5 feet if necessary to get it to regrow again at the base and to grow in on your side. And then every year after that, once it finishes flowering, normally about the middle towards the end of May, you prune it back at that time of year.
Porrick, thank you very much for all your help. It'll inspire a lot of people, I think, to go out in the garden today, cold and all, though it may be. That's Porrick Horkin of the Horkin Garden Centre family.